Hello, you are listening to KDRT LP 95.7 FM. This is Corinne Motokaitis, host of How She Really Does It, where inspiration and possibility meet. I believe there are many valuable lessons to be learned from other people's journeys, and my lifelong quest has been to use inspirational success stories to motivate and empower others to achieve their personal best. How She Really Does It dives into the depths to truly understand people in order to help others realize their personal potential. This talk show is meant to inspire, empower, entertain, and be a resource. We love to hear our listeners' comments about our shows or questions for upcoming guests. Email us by going to our website, www.howshereallydoesit.com. And our past shows are available on our website or as podcasts from iTunes. How many of you want change to happen in your life, but you feel stuck? Is change truly possible for you? Or do you feel that this is your road in life and you must stay here? Today's guest is Chief Optimist, founder and CEO of First30Days.com and author of her book, just updated and released in paperback, First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change Easier, Ariane de Bonvoisin. Welcome, Ariane.
Thank you, Corinne. What a pleasure to be back on your show.
It's fabulous to have you back. So let's talk about just some of the keys to change, because right now people are going through a lot of change. We're seeing that happen. But what are some of the keys that you have seen worked or that have worked for you?
Well, you know, for the book, I interviewed a few thousand people who were going through everything from job changes, relationship changes, financial changes, health changes. And I became obsessed, really, with finding out why it is that some people are good at change and other people really struggle. Why is it that some people initiate a change and some people never do? And, you know, what I found was that the number one tip I would say that people need to look at is the beliefs that they have around change. That's the foundation. So if you think of it as the house, the bottom bricks are, what is it that you believe about life? Is life on your side or is life against you? Are you unlucky? Is life conspiring against you? Or somehow is there a gift in what the change is going to be? What do you say to yourself when you look at yourself in the mirror? A lot of the times our inner dialogue, sort of our self-critical behavior, is what makes change so hard. I mean, when I interview people, the number one thing I hear them say is, I hate change, or I'm bad at change. And the reality is you're so much better at change than you've ever really been told.
And so what about the people that feel that they're unlucky in life? How can they get out of that?
You know, what I would say to them is to know that the longer they postpone the decision to drop that belief. You know, it was Einstein who said the most important decision you will ever make in your life is whether to believe you live in a friendly universe or an unfriendly universe. And just to know that the unluck, you're putting that out there. So in terms of, you know, you saying, I'm an unlucky person, the universe then responds and says, okay, I'll bring you more of the unluckiness. If you sort of can shift your mindset and go, I'm a lucky person, there's abundance, there's more money, there's more jobs, there's more relationships, that's then what you start attracting. Because, you know, bottom line is we get what we focus on. What we focus on is what life tends to return to us.
Focus on what life tends to return to us. Have you, in your life growing up, have you ever felt unlucky or down in the dumps?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. You know, one of the things I'm such a believer in telling people nowadays is we have permission to be human. We need to know that whatever emotions we're moving through, whether it's fear, whether it's shame, whether it's sadness, whether it's anger, whether it's doubt, whether it's impatience, you know, a lot of what I call the change demons, these emotions that tend to keep us hostage when we're going through change, they're not about getting rid of them. You know, I still feel fear every time I get up on stage, every time I do a live TV show. So it's not about getting rid of these emotions. It's actually being able to function, knowing that we're human, knowing that these things are going to show up. And I think so many of us, you know, our lives are ruled by the emotion that we don't want to feel. So if someone doesn't want to feel fear, doesn't want to feel fear, doesn't want to feel sadness, doesn't want to grieve, that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It doesn't get smaller. So I really like shining a light on what is the emotion that's going on for me right now and really identifying it, putting a name on it, becoming a friend to it. You know, what I say to people who are moving through change is, you know, the actions of moving through change are very easy. So many people are like, tell me what to do. Just tell me three things I need to do. And think about losing weight. The action of losing weight is very easy. Quitting smoking, the action of quitting smoking is very easy. It's the emotions behind both of those two things that really sort of get stuck and get in the way. So what I've found is, you know, in the book, when I was interviewing these people, and I was like, why is it that, you know, you, Karen, get through a change? Very often it's because you were more human. You had not impossibly high standards, which meant that you became very tough and judgmental on yourself if you, you know, fell off the wagon or didn't quite, you know, get to the goal that you wanted in the time that you said. But it's more about, you know, allowing ourselves to feel more, allowing ourselves to sort of go through it more, and not having these unbelievably high expectations that, you know, everything's going to change immediately.
And Ariane, I'm glad that you said that, you know, you've gone through difficult times too, because, you know, people could look at you and, you know, you're beautiful, you've got this company, and you mean you're on these, you know, you're on TV, you're on the radio, you interview all these amazing people, you know, you just did a keynote down in Florida. And it's so important for everybody to know we all have those thoughts. And it just, some people can get out of those thoughts or just persevere through them, you know, sit with them, the feelings, and acknowledge them. Like you said, you don't want to just ignore them and go away. But then, okay, get up and you move forward, or you try to, you attempt to move forward. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I love the fact that you just said that, because here's what I've found. The more vulnerable I am, the closer and more intimate I feel to people. The more honest I am with other people, whether it's experts, whether it's, you know, significant people that have shown up, the more I feel they then open up, lend a hand, the more I feel a little bit surrendered and just go, some of this is just going to happen the way it happens. It's not up to me to control it, strive, make it happen, have it be a certain way, the more successful I've become. I think, too, you know, we've got to get better at letting go and at receiving, as opposed to just taking and making things happen. There's a little bit of shift. I know I go through tough times every week, you know, and we could spend the entire show talking about that, you know, tough stuff, whether it's personally, professionally, health-wise, that I've also experienced. I wanted to be sure that if I could, you know, talk about change to people and write a book about it and start a company about it, you can be sure that the universe was going to test me beforehand and make sure that I could, you know, I'd really read my book and I'd really lived these principles. The number one thing that I personally fall back to is my spiritual beliefs, which are, you know, if I'm going through change on the outside, if something outside of me is changing, whether it's a relationship, whether it's money, whether it's the, you know, business and how it's sort of evolving right now, I always come back to a part inside myself that does not change. And we all have that part. It's inside of us. It's not anything outside. And it's a part of me that is calm, it's grounded, it's detached, it's guided. My belief is that it's, you know, connected to something bigger, and anyone can put whatever name they want on that. But I'm very good at coming inside for my answers. And we are obsessed with going outside for answers, as opposed to finding 5-10 minutes a day to check in. How am I feeling? What's my intuition trying to tell me, remind me about a person, about a deal, about a project, about a job, about an investment? And we just need to honor there is guidance and inner wisdom that is so much more valuable than we can possibly imagine. That's my go-to place.
So are you saying that so often we are seeking outside? I'm going to go to Ariane because she's going to know the answer to my problem, whereas it's actually inside of me, and I need to tear down some of the layers and go inside and connect with myself.
And I would say you can go to someone else, and the best people, whether it's friends, coaches, inspiring people, will probably ask you questions more than tell you what to do, because ultimately you're the wise guy, you're the guru, you're the expert, you know. I often have people that say, oh, I just don't know what to do. I don't know whether to leave my husband. I don't know whether to leave the corporate world. And the reality is, all they need is permission. They don't need the answer because they've already got the answer. They need someone to say, it's okay, you can do it. But it's very rare that I've really found someone who doesn't really know what to do. And you can look in their eyes and go, you do know what to do. And here's what gets in the way, Corinne. There are only a certain amount of excuses that get in the way of someone making a change. Here they are. I'm too old. I'm too young. It's going to take time. It's going to be painful. It's gonna cost money. I don't know where to start. It's not my nature. Someone else is going to get hurt. Those are pretty much it. And identifying what is the excuse that keeps holding you back from that change that you really, really want to make, because you will either get your excuse all your life or you will get the life that you ultimately want that's on the other side of that. But change does take some time, and change involves consequences, which is why so many of us resist change. And then we're surprised when life goes ahead and changes it for us because we haven't heard the wake-up call. My background, I used to be in a big corporate job here in New York. I did 15 years in the corporate world. I was on the track, and I was making good money, and I was doing what other people expected me to do. And then I woke up one day, I was, running a $500 million fund, and I woke up and I was like, I'm at the top of the wrong ladder. And it's the wrong ladder, and it's leaning up against the wrong wall. And that was a very scary conclusion when, life has told me that everything's great and perfect, and I was dating the perfect guy, People Magazine, top 20 bachelors. So on the outside, everything looked perfect, and my inner world was empty. And what started happening was every morning, that inner voice that we all have, every single one of us, it would wake me up, and it would go, Ariane, you're in the wrong job. And then it would say, Ariane, you're sleeping with the wrong guy. And the way for me to survive was to turn that off every morning and then go to work. And unfortunately, so many of us are doing that because the consequences of facing that truth are hard for people. One of my favorite quotes is the quote that says, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. The Gloria Steinem quote. It is so true. It pissed me off. I thought I'd gotten the guy and the job and I was set and I was 30 and everything was fine. And both of those things were lies. I was being dishonest with myself. And what I can say today is where I get my courage from and my strength from, even though I'm living a completely different life, is that my inner world and my outer world are in sync. That's what gives me peace.
We have Ariane de Bonvoisin. She's an author, entrepreneur, and an expert on change, on how she really does it with Corinne Motokaitis. So Ariane, which you're talking about, you're managing this humongous fund, and you're working for this corporation. You had the level of success, which in America, what we identify success, right? This beautiful man, you've got this successful career, you're making lots of money, you're living in Manhattan. I mean, it's like Sex and the City in your life. How do you go from that to saying, in your intuition, saying, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right? Because so often people say, but no, this is the standard of success. I've made it. I've hit the jackpot.
The number one thing that was missing for me, and I think it's different for everyone, but I did not feel like I was making a difference. I did not feel that what I was doing mattered. I didn't feel that I was touching people. I didn't feel I was making a difference in the world. And that, to me, was a very, very important value. And I basically started looking for ways that I could help and serve and make a difference while I was still at my job. So I didn't sort of bolt out the door completely. I was like, okay, this is what's missing. I need to find other ways that I can feel my work matters in the world. So that was the first step. My second step was I started looking for people who had done what I was thinking about doing. So I'm a very big believer, it's one of the 9 principles of change that's in the book. You do not change alone. Our biggest flaw as human beings is that we keep thinking we're alone. We're the only one going through this. No one has ever felt this badly. No one has ever had these emotions or gone through these 2 changes at once. And that is a myth. It's a complete flaw. Every person I've ever interviewed can always identify who was there with them while they were making that change. And it is someone who believes you can change, who wants you to change, and who will give you all the time in the world for you to make that change happen. Those are often not the people that are closest to us in our lives that get threatened when we start changing. So when I started thinking of leaving the corporate world, I went looking for people who were going to be very optimistic about my decision. Not my parents, not my best friends necessarily, people who might have done the same thing, who I was inspired by. They had a story of showing me that it was possible, because what I didn't need was information on how to start a business. I needed inspiration, which is why I love your show. I needed to know that I was a big enough person inside and out to be able to do something that went against the tribe, as I call it. And the tribe says you got to stay. You got to stay in. It's safe, whether it's a relationship or professionally. Then, to me, I started really asking the universe for direction. Please show me what I should be doing. Please bring me the right people, the right classes, the right workshops, the right radio shows, the right articles, the right books. So when I set an intention, which was very important for me, I think every day we get to set an intention and go in a particular course. My intention was to find a way of creating either a business or a work platform where I really felt I was following my soul purpose. So those were a couple of sort of the steps, but so much of it was internally, because the biggest change I made was not leaving the corporate world. The biggest change I made was an identity change. I had always been told all my life, Ariane, you're a business person. You're not creative, you're certainly not a writer, and you're certainly not an entrepreneur. So all my life, my identity was Ariane's a business person, and a good one. The biggest change I had to make was to start having an inner dialogue about what I would say to myself. Ariane, you're a writer. Ariane, you're a speaker. Ariane, you're an entrepreneur. Ariane, you're more creative than you are a business person, which is what I believe today. The identity shift is the hardest one. It's not about standing up in front of your friends and family and saying, I'm going to make the change. It's you making the change internally first and going, this is who I am and who I am becoming.
Does your inside ever say, Ariane, you're a fake?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I know that little voice. It's very friendly. And it, you know, it talks to me in a couple of the languages that I speak. It's not only in English. And, you know, I sort of see it and I acknowledge it, and then I see the impact that I know just listening to someone will have, or asking a question, or giving them a quote that could potentially, you know, inspire them or make their day better. So I think we all suffer from that. And my big thing that I had to really let go of was comparing myself. Because in the field that I'm in, spirituality, life improvement, self-help, there are some giants of the business. And I've studied with them and learned from them, and I'm very fortunate that many of them have actually endorsed my book, Wayne Dyer, Tony Robbins, all these guys, mm-hmm. Deepak Chopra. But I had to get off the platform of these same people are in the same race, because we're not in the same race, because people who might connect with me are very different than people who would connect with the Tony Robbins. And I just felt, you know what, if I just sort of do what I feel is coming through me, and that is my honest truth, and I'm not copying, and I'm not pretending, but it's truly my story, hopefully it can help someone else. That's where I kind of go, well, that's true, it's not fake. Who I am.
When you just said that, I was tingling throughout my body, because so often people would look and say, oh, you know, Wayne Dyer, Dr. Tony Robbins, and Deepak, there's no room for me. And you're saying, well, there are going to be people in my tribe that are going to connect with me. They may understand my voice and be able to resonate with me. And it's not that you're taking away. It's another platform. Instead of saying there's just, again, it goes back to there's not enough space for me. There's not enough abundance. But that's not how you perceive it.
Couldn't agree more. You know, another one of my absolute favorite quotes, and I finish every single one of my speeches with this. So here it goes. It's a Mother Teresa quote. And she said, God does not require you to succeed. He only requires that you try. And I can assure you, at the end of every day, I'm still scoring 10 out of 10 on trying. And it's a really good feeling. I don't know if I'm successful. It's not about a best-selling book. You know, other people will judge it that way. But my sort of kindness towards myself is, I'm totally trying and giving my best, and I know that, you know, my intention is a good one. And that's what I encourage people. It says, you have no idea how powerful you are, smart you are, intuitive you are, resilient you are, until you actually start trying.
Okay, I'm going to be the antithesis, because this might be going on some of our listeners' brains, and they can say, well, Ariane, of course you can touch people. You have a book, you have this platform, you know, you have this company. But I'm just me. I'm a mom, or, you know, I just work at this state job. How can I touch people? What do I have that's of value?
Oh, I would say, it's taken me quite a significant amount of time to just believe that I had anything to say, to get the book off the ground, to get the company off the ground. So, in no way, again, I would not encourage anyone to compare who they are to who I am, what my platform is to who they might be sort of in their community, in their family, in their school, whatever it is. I think every single one of us is either an inspiration for someone or a warning for someone. Someone who manages to lose weight is an inspiration to someone. They have a message. Every single person on this call is an expert in something. On our website, we have what I call a traditional expert. They have all the right letters at the end of their name, and we have what I call the voice of experience. If you have an autistic child, you are an expert. If you've had a parent who's had Parkinson's or ADD, you are an expert. There are so many people who need to hear, who need to know that things are possible, that you've gotten through it, what you've learned. People, we really need to understand that each one of us has a story and a gift. We are, you know, we have what I call a change resume. I talk about this in the book, which is you are a combination of all the changes you've ever made, ever experienced, ever initiated, or ever dealt with, you know, as a friend or a family member who's been going through that. I think, you know, part of a metaphor that I love and that I'll share is the woodpecker metaphor, which is, you know, every single one of us on this call is a woodpecker. We are a little bird in a big forest, in a big world, and there are some very big trees out there. What does a woodpecker do? It chooses a big tree or a little tree, and it just decides to peck through it enough that it's going to, like, you know, have the tree fall. You can choose the size of your tree. And every day what I do and what I encourage other people to do is pick a tree. Pick an idea, pick a problem, pick an intention, pick something that you want to share or bring into the world, a community, a school, anything, your company, and start pecking away. Just try. And at the end of the day, I can assure you, your beak will probably hurt, because my beak hurts at the end of every single day, I can promise you. But I get back to the tree and I start pecking away. And the amazing thing, Corinne, is there are days where the trees fall. There are days where the trees fall. And those are people telling you how much of an impact you've had on their life, people being inspired by you, people asking you for help, great news happening. But we've got to, you know, we're all woodpeckers, and we get to choose our trees, and my tree is different to yours, is different from anyone that's listening to this call. So it's just, what's the tree I want to really bring down and make a difference in? And that's a very personal journey.
And something else that you had said earlier, too, that really resonated with me is that it's not about the outcome. You know, you go and you try to do your best every day, and then the results are the results. But it's about that journey. Tell me where I'm wrong with that.
You're very right. I know that at the end of every day, if I was on a debating team, I could debate that I've had a great day, and I could debate that I've had a really challenging day. And I really use that metaphor because it's up to me which side of the team I want to put myself at the end of every day. And it's more than just I can be grateful for three great things that have happened, but I get to choose and explain not only to myself, but the story I tell the world of, well, is my business a success right now, or is my business a real challenge? And I can assure you, I can argue it both ways. So, you know, you're very right in saying, it's not about, you know, the external success. I'm a completely different person than I was 5 years ago. And the biggest shifts have been what I have not been taught, whether it's at business school, you know, best business school in the world that I went to, whether it's all these companies that I've worked for. There are life skills that I could only find within myself. I've read 1,000 self-help books. I've been to every seminar you can possibly imagine. But things like finding your courage, finding what I call your change muscle. We all have a change muscle. It's one of the principles I talk about in the book again. How do you find your change muscle? How do you activate it? How do you bring out the best of who you are during these kind of times? That's the emotion you're looking for. You know, we're all trying to be happier. We're all looking for more inner peace. And when we activate, you know, the ability to make a change that we know would make us so much happier, sometimes it's not about the change. You know, I know that starting a business has really not been about starting a business. It's been about a massive identity shift in Ariane and the ability to just sort of, you know, give back and reconnect with more of my spiritual side.
This is Corinne Motokaitis, and you're listening to How She Really Does It. I'm talking with Ariane de Bonvoisin. She's the author of First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change Easier.
Here's another thing, Corinne, I just would love to share as
okay.
well, which is, change takes time. I think anyone needs to create a better relationship with time. I think we all overestimate how much change is going to happen in a month, and then we beat ourselves up and we're failures and we don't even try and we just give up on pecking down the tree. And then we underestimate how much change, how different our lives can be in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Radically different. And yet so many of us never get to the 3, 6, 9 month mark. You know, there was an amazing study done at Stanford University called the Marshmallow Test, the Marshmallow Principle. I'm not sure if you've ever heard it, but mm-hmm. here it goes. So they took a class of five-year-olds at Stanford 30 years ago, and they gave them a marshmallow. And the teacher said, don't eat the marshmallow for 5 minutes. And in 5 minutes, I'll give you two marshmallows. You can eat them straight away. And then she left the room, and she showed them the clock 5 minutes. 90% of the kids ate the marshmallow. A few of them licked it. A few of them ate the inside. But 90% of them ate the marshmallow. She came back in. She didn't tell them anything about the test. She gave the 10% the second marshmallow, and that was it. They followed the kids for 30 years. Do you know that the 10% who did not eat the marshmallow straight away were off the charts more successful? They'd waited for their soulmate as opposed to settling. They'd gotten into careers and jobs that they loved as opposed to taking the first thing that came along. They'd pursued their dreams. They'd written books. They'd gotten creative. And the real message behind that study was change takes time. Good things take time. Good things come to those who wait and give it a little bit longer. And I can tell you, if you told me it was going to take me 5 years to get to the place I am now, at the time, my ego and my mind would have come up with 10 more excuses why that would not be worth it. And yet I'm in it now, and I'm happier than I've ever been. So I think creating a different relationship with time is crucial when we're going through change.
And how much has your journey changed along the 5 years? Because oftentimes people think this is going to be my destination, and as they go through, things kind of evolve and change. So how much were 5 years ago to where you are now, how much of where what you've gone through, or I don't want to say the end result because it's not there, but kind of what you know, maybe you had intermediary goals or the steps and you maybe took a different path. How much change did you go through?
Where I'm at now is not at all where I thought I would be. I'm more successful in some ways, and I'm also nothing has happened in other ways. I thought by now, this was my little ego at the time, the one that was in the corporate world, ambition, very much in the head, very much concerned about what other people thought, how I was going to be projected in the world. I thought I would have built this up, sold the company, made millions, and personally I would definitely be married and definitely have a few kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, none of that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yet I'm still telling you it's the best decision and I'm happy. So life has given me what I need for right now. Who I am today is probably the biggest difference. And yet we never give ourselves credit for who we're becoming because we're not paid for who we're becoming. We're not, given any medals or awards for being kinder or more spiritual or more gentle with ourselves and other people. Like the changes that we're really craving are not anything externally that we're very often, told that are goals that are worth fighting for. I think today things can happen very quickly. Change can happen in a heartbeat. And then some seeds you plant really far down in the ground and you keep watering them and one day they eventually sprout and you're like, wow, here are some things that are happening in the TV world for me. I thought TV was going to happen a couple of years ago. So I think life moves as quickly as you are also growing with it. So as your identity gets more comfortable around something new happening in your life, that's when life delivers it to you. I think where a lot of us go wrong is we want life to deliver it to us, and then we're going to become the big enough person to grow into it.
Well, and I went through this revelation myself just over the last few months. I was kind of frustrated with stuff. Stuff wasn't happening. And then I just realized I am here right now because there are lessons that I need to learn to prepare me for the next stage. And I need to just sit with that and learn and grow. This is an opportunity for me to get more solid versus jumping into something where I'm not going to be solid and it could be more detrimental to me. But it was something that I had to go through and to give myself more patience because I'm just this high overachiever, like, okay, let's jump in, let's go. And it took some work on my part to just, okay, there are lessons to be learned.
I think a lot of it too is, as human beings, we have two primary needs. We want to feel loved and we want to feel good enough. Mm-hmm. And those two things wreak havoc when we're trying to make a change, because sometimes we're not quite sure how other people are going to respond. We want their approval. We don't want to feel like they are going to get in the way in some fashion. And I think a lot of change, you know, the change that needs to happen on the inside is where you need to go to first. You know, Gandhi said, be the change. That's the first place that you turn to. And yet we're all looking around outside going, well, I wish he would change. I wish my boss would change. I wish my husband would change. I wish my kids would change. I wish the medical system in this country would change. You know, and that's sort of where the energy is leaking out of you, as opposed to, you know, myself every day, I kind of go, okay, where am I at? And that's where you inspire other people then to kind of go, wow, you know, Ariane did it. Maybe she can, you know, show me or inspire me in a particular way.
You are listening to Karen Motokaitis on How She Really Does It, and I am talking with Ariane de Bonvoisin, author of First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change Easier. So, Ariane, I'm sure there's been a lot of discussion that you've been a part of. You've heard from people about the economy. You know, there's been a lot of fear. I feel like I'm on the West Coast, you're on the East Coast, and I feel like I've noticed people, and maybe it's just my perceptions of things too, but I feel like people are starting to slowly let out the purse strings again, where there was a lot of pulling in back at the end of 2008, beginning part of 2009. But what are the stories that you're hearing about the economy, and how is this affecting people?
Well, interestingly enough, when I was interviewing people for this book, I found a lot of people who had either lost a lot of money, who had gone bankrupt, who had built businesses they'd gone under, who had lost their shirt in the market 5, 6, 8 years ago. And I really went looking for, you know, why is it that some people bounce back? What is it that makes a difference versus some people who are still very much in sort of more of a poor mentality? People who are good at change, as I said, they see the world as abundant. There's more money, there's going to be another opportunity, there's going to be another job around the corner, there's other things that are happening. So I know for me, I when I see people who are struggling with the financial side, with you know, whether it's comp of groceries or the kids' college fund, I really remind people of, you know, money is just a decision, and it's an energy, and it's an intention that we set. And the focus on there's no money, there's no money, there's no money, the world goes, there's no money, there's no money, there's no money. And it blocks you from finding other ways of creating money, other people that might, you know, need a skill set that you have. The stories I'm hearing right now, and, you know, living in New York City, I say people are much more in the present moment now around their money, whereas before we were much more in the blaming of what happened in the past, whether it's our government, our administration, the economy, the banks. Blame. There was a lot of blame energy. And now there's not really that much blame energy going on. There's more of a permission for something new with Obama, permission for not, you know, putting all the blame on companies and corporations, and people going, okay, well, it's kind of down to me. It's kind of down to my decisions, my choices, my life. What is it that I can then do? But, you know, this country is so resilient. This country has a change muscle. You know, the United States is very good at change. And I would say, you know, it's in times of change that the very best comes out. And I'm seeing it all around me. People who are coming up with creative ideas, people who are reconnecting to their spiritual life, people who are searching, people who want to go from ambition to meaning. You know, there's great things that are happening from some of the troubles and turmoils that I think a lot of us have gone through.
And what you said earlier about the way we change how we look at things when it comes in terms of money, and you can either change it as there's not any or to more of an abundant. And it's what it does is that it changes how you think of things. Maybe you'll be more creative, and it's not that money's just going to come all of a sudden ring or knock on your door and there's going to be a bundle of cash. It's about allowing that creativity to follow so that, you know, maybe it's about getting another job, or maybe it's about thinking about an identity shift in your own career.
You know, I did a segment yesterday for new graduates and people trying to find jobs in what they call a no-job environment. And, you know, so a couple of tips that I give, and I think they apply to not only graduates but really anyone. I think we're in an environment now where you must do something that you love, because the jobs of here's going to be safe and here's going to be a big paycheck, they're not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So the one criteria is, you know, people are dying to do something they love. And a lot of us are so disconnected from what we love and what we want, because it was always about, do you have a job?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different question to ask people, what do you love? And they've never been given permission to go after that. So it takes some inner work to sort of get back in touch with that. But I had to become immune from what anyone else thought I should do. I think, you know, at any age, 20, 30, 40, 50, you're not supposed to figure out your entire career. You know, these poor graduates are like, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? That's really the wrong question. The right question is, what do you want to do for the next 6 months? Do you want to get experience in television? Do you want to overshadow a celebrity? Do you want to go in the music business? What is it that you want to do for 6 months or maybe a year? So I would chunk it down where it's manageable, because the oh, my God, how am I going to make money for the next 20 years? That becomes so overwhelming, the brain doesn't know what to do with it. The brain needs to feel safe. You know, there's a lot of brain research around how and when people make change. The brain needs to feel safe, and the brain needs to feel that it can win. Losing 295 pounds in a year, the brain does not feel it can win, and it doesn't do it, and it gives you another 50 just to feel safe again. Okay? Same thing with money and same thing with jobs. You pose the question to your brain, what do I want to do with my life? The brain shuts down. You're not going to find any jobs. So really, just figure out what you want to do, how you might be able to make money for a month, for 3 months, for 12 months. The other tip I would say is the original will inherit the jobs. You must go fish in a different pond, not in career fairs, not on the same websites looking for jobs. Go fish in a different pond. You need to do things that are creative. Do things that other people aren't doing. Think about five companies that you love. Do you love Jamba Juice? Do you love Patagonia? Do you love whoever it is for you? And then find some people that work there and write them a letter they have never read before about them, their childhood. You heard them speak, something about where they grow up. But show that you've made an effort to actually find out who they are and what they stand for. Make it really easy for you to sort of pop out. And then treat absolutely everyone as if they have a piece of the puzzle to your next job. Don't ever assume, judge, or underestimate anyone. You don't know who someone's brother is. You don't know who someone might have dated in the past. You don't know who they might have become. I mean, people look at me and think, well, she's an author and she's all self-helpish. And they don't know that I've worked in the music industry, in the publishing industry, in the venture capital industry. You know, in the television industry, there's a whole background behind people. So I would very humbly approach everyone and be specific. So many people are like, you know, do you know anyone who's hiring? Well, no, you know, no. Or if someone said to me, do you know anyone in the music business? I would say be very, very specific when you're trying to make a change. Do you know anyone who's left the corporate world and started a restaurant? The more specific you are, the more people can help you.
This is Corinne Motokaitis, and you're listening to How She Really Does It. I am talking with Ariane de Bonvoisin, author of First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change Easier. Ariane, your book has changed people's lives. Could you, the paperback has incorporated some of the stories. Can you share some stories with our listeners today?
Oh, sure. So one of my favorite stories comes from a guy called Theo, who's become a very dear friend of mine. And Theo went through two pretty tragic accidents. One was a head-on car crash where he was code blue, basically pronounced dead for 3.5 minutes, had a near-death experience, crossed over, was given the choice to come back, came back. And his other accident was he was playing soccer, and a guy, 285-pound guy, basically ran into him, put him in an instant coma for 2 weeks. And when he woke up, the doctors were like, we need to amputate your leg. And he was like, no, I'd rather not, you know, walk again, but don't amputate. Anyway, long story short, he spent, you know, a year in hospital after both of these accidents recuperating, started opening his mind up to alternative healing, other types of books and workshops, the power of the mind over the body, self-healing, a real shift in beliefs, right, which is what we originally started the show with, which is what do I believe about healing, about the possibility of what is possible within my body. What do I believe about what my life can now be from this point on, even though he was given these two diagnoses? and started everything from laughing therapy to acupuncture to past life analysis as to why some of this might have happened for him in his life. And very long story short, he declared to the nurses who were helping him, and he was in a wheelchair for a while, that he was going to run a marathon. And he says to me in the interview, and actually his interview is on our website today, first30days.com, we just put it up. He goes, the minute I decided to have a goal is when the healing began. The minute I decided to forgive the guy who crashed into me with a car and the other guy who, you know, basically like hurt my leg as badly and smashed as it was in 17 places, is when the healing was allowed to start. And he says, you know, whether it's a Viktor Frankl who says the last of the human freedoms is to decide how to react and how you make something mean. So what was the meaning that he was given to those two things? So he did run the marathon. He ran the Florida Marathon within a year. And he decided to do an Ironman, and he did an Ironman within 2 years.
Wow.
So it's such an amazing story, because don't ever, ever underestimate who you are, how powerful you are, how your body can heal. Don't give the power away to someone else, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a parent, whether it's someone who seems to know better. You are much, there's an inner wisdom inside of you. There is, miracles are possible. So it's an incredible, incredible story of not blaming and giving a completely different meaning. And, you know, I see him today, he walks like anyone would walk. You would never know that anything had ever happened, and he was given an amputation decision. It's very, it's very important for, you know, everyone listening to just go, what is it that I'm being told that I believe to be true but is really not true about yourself, about your body, about healing, about your career, about your relationships? You know, another story I would say, another dear friend of mine, person who's become a very dear friend of mine, Gary King, when he was in his 30s, he was driving down the freeway picking up something for a friend, and he didn't see, he was in the middle lane, and there was a mom who was trying to cross the freeway with three kids. And one of the three kids basically let go of her hand and ran across the freeway, and Gary accidentally killed the five-year-old boy. So very tragic. You wouldn't really necessarily, you know, imagine anything worse can happen to people. And Gary, you know, had a decision whether to basically become very suicidal or whether to make this change mean something. And he now talks and lectures around the world about the power of forgiveness and forgiving himself. Every single person on this call, there is something you need to forgive about yourself. That whether it's the weight you haven't lost yet, whether it's, you know, who you are, what you should have done, shame you have. But if you want to change your life, ask yourself this question: who do you need to forgive? It is a huge weight holding us back from a very different, sort of more fulfilling life. He talks about the power of honesty. Another question that can change your life: what are you not being honest about? Like, what needs to change in your life? So Gary basically shows the journey he had to make from, like, that sort of a difficult change, a tragedy, you know, and bringing it back to the point where he's now a real gift and an inspiration of turning a situation around. There are stories of people who've lost jobs. There are stories of people who've adopted children who've never been able to have kids. Stories of how some people found their soulmates. Really optimistic stories of divorce and the gift that came from divorce and how difficult that change can be, but the gift on the other side. And I think just to sort of wrap that up, you know, my number one belief around change is what I call the change guarantee. And every single person I interviewed for the book, the first 30 days, believed this thing. From this change, something good will come. Whether it's the car accident, whether it's the divorce, whether it's the health diagnosis, whether it's losing the money in the market, if you can believe that something good will come, there's a gift in this somehow, you are part of a category of people that I call a change optimist. That is when life starts giving you the something good that you are expecting to show up.
I'm wrapping up our discussion with the Lady of Change, Ariane de Bonvoisin, author of First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change Easier. You're listening to Corinne Motokaitis on How She Really Does It. So it's about when those difficult times come up to look at them as opportunities, because you have a choice. Am I incorrect? You have a choice either to look at it as an opportunity or as maybe a tragedy.
It is our biggest human freedom is that we get to choose. And that makes the difference on whether you will have an easier time through change or more of a struggle through change.
And And you talked about like taking steps. And sometimes maybe when you're going through a difficult thing, it may be hard to get to totally see the opportunity, but maybe if you can make it just a little bit better in your brain, like kind of taking steps to get to that like turnaround of, okay, this divorce is an opportunity. I mean, it might be hard for somebody to say, okay, you know, my husband just left me and this is going to be an opportunity.
Absolutely. So one of the principles in the book is what I call things you can control when you're going through change. And often the times we try and control things like our ex-husbands or our jobs. And the things you can control are the questions you ask yourself, the words you use, the stories you tell about the change you either want to make or is happening. But there are very specific questions in the book that someone that is a change optimist asks. And it is things like, what can I learn from this? Who can help me? What has not changed in my life? What is one thing I can do right now that can make me feel better? How could this be a gift eventually? How might this be life supporting me in the right direction? There are a whole set of questions that when you go to those first, that's why the first 30 days is so important, because you are setting yourself up to either access some of those different type of answers or things like, how am I so unlucky? Why does this always happen to me? Life is against me. Very different types of questions that people are triggered by.
So it's that form of inquiry. So to get from, because a lot of times people say, okay, I see you can be from here to here, but I don't understand the steps in between. And it's those questions that you ask.
Questions you ask are the beginning of being able to access solutions and answers. The other thing is people who are good at change accept change. They accept that their husband was cheated. They accept that something is going on at work. They accept that they've lost the money in the market. There's an acceptance that comes with it. There's a lot of strength when you accept. It doesn't mean you're happy about it, but you accept. On the other side of acceptance is where possibilities show up. And when people are struggling with change, you know, in the river of life, this is what they're doing. They're clinging to the rock because they don't want to go to the next stage of their life. Or worse, they're rowing back upstream. They want the body back, the health back, the relationship back, the job back that has now changed. And clinging to a rock and rowing back upstream in a moving river of life is what makes change so painful. You don't even need to put the boat in the right direction because life knows the right direction. All you need to do is let go of the oars and say, this is now happening, and I'm going to be guided, and I feel I'm safe in the direction of where life is trying to take me. So accepting change is one of the main principles of people who are good at change. You know, men are very good at accepting when they're fat. Men go, I'm fat, and men take themselves to the gym. Very different than women. The struggle, the issue, the resistance, the pretend, the, well, I'm not that fat, and, you know, all the things that come in the way. Men get to a place of acceptance much quicker, at least in the weight loss area.
So are you good at accepting change or surrendering?
You know what? It is the principle that I probably think about and read the most. And to me, it's more about letting go of the way life should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bigger acceptance. So I accept individual changes that have happened quite quickly. But accepting life and accepting that I have not met my soulmate yet. So let's talk about that. You know, that is one that I struggle with. And the more I accept it, the more I rest in it, and the more I feel completely that it's just part of the divine plan and it will happen. I think, you know, we set ourselves up for failure because at some point in our lives, we decided things that needed to happen by the age of 18, 21, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60. And I don't know where that disc is in my mind and where it is in most people, but it is not a productive disc to still have playing around in your head. There are things that have happened by the age I am now that I never imagined would ever happen at any time in my life, on the positive. And there are things that have not happened yet. And I think being able to unplug from that program and being able to accept sort of what is showing up right now, being able to be present with the gifts that are showing up and the challenges that are showing up. We spend so much time projecting in the future of things that will never happen. You know, or changes that, you know, we think are going to be permanent, which I can guarantee you one thing. If you're in a bad situation right now, it will change. And by the way, if you're in a good situation right now, it will also change. And just allowing yourself, you know, change is the number one thing guaranteed in life. I'm a big believer in saying, you know, if you can get good at change, you can get good at life. It's the number one skill to get good at right now. And life becomes infinitely easier once you can sort of accept that life is change and that there will always be other things coming to you.
Well, and when you can accept and you can get good at change, doesn't your energy inside of you change also to more positive?
I think when you're flowing in the direction of the river and the energy that you put forward into life is one where you and life are walking side by side. You know, life is your partner. That's when things feel lighter. You don't feel that you need to make everything happen. You need to create and struggle and strive and control. Suddenly there's a whole other supportive universe that's sort of pulling you in the right direction. And if it's out of a relationship, it's out of a relationship. If it's out of a job, it's out of a job. But knowing that that is supportive energy as opposed to destructive energy, that's where the belief shift needs to happen. You know, another quote I love, hidden in any misfortune is good fortune. But it's hidden. And that's where people who are good at change, they will go looking. It's like a treasure hunt. It won't necessarily come immediately. It won't come the next day. It might not even come in the same area of your life. Let's say you lose your job. The good fortune might come in someone you meet and becomes, you know, a romantic relationship. You might, you know, lose some money, and then you might decide to go back to school and study a whole new career. So there, change is not a logical equation. Some change might happen in one area of your life, and the beautiful benefit might come in a completely different area.
Well, Ariane, I want to thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, for being on my show, for giving your knowledge to our listeners, and just for me to get to know you through the last 6 months.
Thank you so much. I love your show.
Well, thank you. We've had Ariane de Bonvoisin. She is the author of First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change. She is also the CEO and founder of First30Days.com. This is Corinne Motokaitis. You've been listening to How She Really Does It at KDRT LP 95.7 FM.